Johan van Sail. This is the Wild Eye Podcast. Hey everybody, my name is Jerry, I'm from Wild Eye, and after speaking to Michael Appelsammy and Trevor earlier on last week, I sat down with Johan today and we just catch up. It's been a while. Yesterday we had a wonderful paella barbecue thing. It was amazing at Johan's place. And yeah, we just catch up on trips, tours, future of guiding, guests, even a bit of UFC, a little bit of everything in this one. Just a nice conversation. I hope you guys enjoy it. Yeah, here we go. And I think we are live. How's it, John?
How's it, Jerry?
How's life?
Yeah, good. Good. We were just chatting now. I think everyone is on that sort of last leg, that last bit of energy. You can see the finish line, and it's now just a matter of getting over it.
We had a paella bra yesterday at your house, which was fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
But Mike was there, Laupsha, and he was also non-starter.
I think he was sleepwalking.
Yeah.
Shame, he had a long trip. I mean, we chatted when we hosted the Mara workshop together, and
he then
had another 3 days afterwards, and it's tiring. And I think he had like 4 days before that as well. So
he had a private there, huh?
So, I mean, that's like 13, like just over 2 week trip, you know, at the end of the year, it's rough.
Yeah.
It's rough.
I wonder if people listening to this, because I mean, I spoke to Trev last week, I spoke to Appelsammy, and there's this theme of us saying how tired we are. This is not bitching and moaning. This is just reality.
Yeah.
Because it's long.
Yeah.
It's long. When did you finish?
After the workshop. So when was that? Like the, I don't even know what date it is today. A little bit more than a week ago.
Yeah. And what did you feel when you got on the plane on the way home?
I was tired. Like, I mean, for me, I only sort of relax really once I get home. Because it's still that, you know, I don't mind being on safaris, but it's the airports that are just killing me. I can't.
But did it change for you, though? And from before COVID, I'm flying out on Thursday evening. And it's not, it's a long, it's into Heathrow, Terminal 5, is all that cuck.
Yeah.
But before COVID to me, and I would always say this on podcasts and to myself, like, I even enjoy the airports. I enjoy the process, looking at people.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure anymore.
No, I don't know what's changed. I mean, I was I never minded traveling. But now, if I've got a flight, I'm like anxious from like 2 or 3 days before. It's the security. And I don't know if it's maybe like during COVID, having to have all those papers and tests, if that possibly brought some anxiety to it. But yeah, I'm just tired of airports, man. But I think also, you know, I think it's a good thing for us being tired. I think it showed that, you know, you've given it your all when you did have your trips.
No, 100%.
I think if the guys were still fresh now, then first of all, we probably didn't travel enough. And then secondly, we probably didn't leave it all out there.
So Where's the sweet spot, though? For how many days? Because you did 180 something last year.
Yeah.
And this year? Like also?
I think 160, close to 170.
Where's
days.
The sweet spot?
I don't know yet.
Yeah, looking for it.
So I think next year I'm on 110, which I think I'm comfortable with.
Mm.
And just see how that goes. You know, that's excluding like last minute privates and things that might come up. But 110 days, I'm comfortable at.
Mm.
I think it's that sort of, I think you have to do, like, if you can do like 8 to 10 days a month.
8 to 10 days a month. Yeah, okay. That makes sense. But with breaks in between.
With breaks in between. So, like, I mean, I don't have like long breaks. I've got literally every month, but I've got one trip that's Northern Serengeti into back-to-back Morris, which is, that's about a 3 week.
Yeah.
But the rest of mine is like 10, 12, 14 days.
Yeah. You have to break it up.
Oh, got it.
You have to break it up. I was speaking, I think it was to Trev as well, on the podcast here, and it was the same thing as, there's young guys who's starting out in the career. I mean, Josh, what's his surname? Got a message from him this morning.
Oh, yeah.
And he just finished his Fugasa and everything, and he wants to get in the industry. And a lot of people looking at us online, they see the romance. You're busy with your top 20 stuff on Instagram.
Yeah.
And these guys are creaming their pants because they just want to do that and they want to see what Johan sees. What advice would you give for someone now, after COVID, after everything, that wants to come into the industry?
Do you want me to post my 20 most hateful moments? You might change your mind.
There's a blog post for you.
I mean, it is easy to get lost in the romance, and I think people do it for the wrong reasons. You know, we get so many people that say they want to make money out of wildlife photography and they want to go travel to all these places and stuff. But reality is, you know, maybe if you're young and you're single and things, then, you know, then it is a lot easier. Yes, you can go and do 200 days a year. I mean, 100% I would. But, you know, once you start having a relationship and family and, you know, then it your responsibilities kind of shift a little bit more. So I think you have to, and also the work that goes in the office, you know, you can put a million safaris together. And if you're not a people's person, you don't get people on those safaris, you ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, 100%. I wonder though, because there's some people in the industry who do what we do and they sell bullshit. They sell fake. They try and make it into this dream world. A couple people out there.
Yeah.
But everything has a negative. Every single thing has to have a downside. There's a cost to everything.
100%.
So I've run into that cost while traveling. It's time away from home. It's stress. It's breakdowns. It's stress. You broke your ankle now.
Yeah.
That was an accident, not a negative. But there's always that something.
Yeah.
And I think when you try and hide from that, that's when the shit's going to hit the fan.
Yeah.
Is not taking care of yourself. But these guys who keep on making like everything's amazing and it's, oh man, oh gosh. I think it's creating a false perception.
Yeah. And it's also, I think for a lot of those guys, there's a lot of people that are not actually making a living out of it. You know, it's a kind of a sideline hustle for them as such. And they are undercutting everyone. You know, and I think it's almost, people are almost too scared to charge a premium for delivering a premium service.
Sure.
You know, and like, and I think we can say it quite comfortably, is that, you know, we do charge. You know, it is expensive to come on safari with us because we, like, deal with from the logistics 100%. Team to the guide and stuff. It's a professional unit. And this is our life. This is our livelihood.
Yeah.
We don't, you know, we're not doing this part-time and half-assed. We in it, you know, in it to win it.
What's so, the analogy I saw recently again? Something in the line of the, call it, I don't know, the lawyer goes into the office with someone and he sits with her for 15 minutes to help her with a question and charges her $2,000. And she says, how can you charge me $2,000 for 15 minutes?
Yeah.
She says, no, I charge you for 10 years worth of education and experience.
Exactly, exactly.
And now it's not just me and you. There's a team of 5 logistics people, 2 finance, 1 operation. I mean, that's the thing.
Exactly.
So, and again, I mean, it's not for every. I would love to go, well, not really, but I'm going to say it just because it works. I would love to go buy a Lamborghini. I don't. But if I wanted to, I can't afford it. So I'm not going to kill myself and bitch and moan about their prices.
Exactly.
It's a premium product.
Exactly.
One day when I'm big, I still won't get one. But if I wanted to.
Exactly.
It's that.
But it's also, you know, it's like you can buy yourself a bottle of Mielus Rubicon. Or you can
flip a nice one.
Or you can flip a nice one. Or you can go buy a bottle of Tussies or a Popsuck.
Yeah.
But you're going to have a headache the next morning.
Sure.
You know? So you, and the same thing could happen on the safari point of view. If you're going the cheap route and you don't have someone that has got a logistics team behind them, like think about more than just the going on safari and, you know, the wildlife side of it. Think of what happens when things go wrong.
Yeah.
You know, what happens if you missed your flight, or your bag gets lost, or
you've been involved in all of those at some stage during with guests.
100%.
Yeah.
Or if you did what I did, jump out the vehicle and you tear your ligaments and your ankle, you know, who's going to, have they got a medevac? Or, you know, you slip and fall in the shower and you break your back, whatever it might be. Think of the worst case scenario and say, am I covered for that? Think of it as an insurance policy, obviously. You know, it's like, am I covered for that? Will I get assistance if that happens? And I mean, the amount of flights that these ladies have had to sort out just in the last 3-4 months has been ridiculous.
I wonder, with stuff like this, so I mean, we're very lucky here that we have a lot of return clients.
Yeah.
So they obviously buy into what we do, and we're eternally grateful for that. I think it also just validates that we're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
But I wonder, people who look at you, and I look at myself now looking, I mean, we've been on holidays together. We look at going on holidays together.
Yeah.
If I'm going to look at a place.
Yes.
How do I lead this in? How do you lose weight? You eat less and move more.
Right.
Okay, that's it. People fucking know this.
I've got to
know this. Different discussion. but people know this intrinsically. You know that if you're a fat fuck, you need to eat less and start doing some exercise.
Yes.
We know this. We might not want to admit it, but we know it.
We know it.
You have a gut feel as to what you need to do. When it comes to booking a safari, and you look at something and you think, geez, this price is actually pretty good. What's the moment you have to say what's what?
Yeah.
Then you need to question it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think people might know that it's a quality product, and it's with anything. But if it's too good to be true, probably is.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something there. People know it's a good product, but they will still bitch and moan about it because they can't afford it.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I don't have a Lamborghini. I can't afford the damn thing.
Exactly.
I don't think it's pretty anyway, but that's it.
And you can't drive it on our roads anyway, so.
Not where we go. No.
No. But it's an interesting thing, you know, we've been chatting from a product development point of view and you know, putting safaris, we look at 2024, some places even 2025.
Yeah.
And I'm of the belief, so in the past we've always said, you know, people want to travel for at least 10 days to 2 weeks.
Sure.
Because you're not going to come from the States, fly all the way here and come for 2 weeks.
How did we get to that? Did we just decide that?
It's a lot of it's from feedback from people that said, you know, like, and, you know, booking our Maras.
Back to backs. And,
yeah, Maras, people coming for two weeks, or they're adding Amboseli and things. But, you know, in us doing the trips now for 10 to 14 days, the prices do go up. You know, if you're looking, most of the places, you're looking $1,000
a night. Sure.
You know, that's now with your private vehicle, internal flights, all of that. So all of a sudden, you're looking at $12,000, $14,000 trips. Whereas I think what we're planning to do now going forward is to have shorter trips.
Back to back.
But you can add on. So you can decide, okay, I can't afford the 2 week trip, but this trip is 6 days. So take what's the one we're working on now? So we're doing like I can't actually give it away. Let me think of a different example. let's say a Serengeti trip, for example. So a Serengeti trip at the moment was it 13 days?
Yes.
So I'm looking at for 2024 is already done, but 2025 to have it like an eight day trip. So cut out the crater and just focus on what the people really are there for, which is the carving. So that's 8 days. That's going to probably drop the price by about $6,000.
Yep.
So now someone can say, hey, I can afford $8,000.
Yeah.
I would love to go to Serengeti, but I couldn't do the $13,000 trip.
But I can maybe do 10, so I can bolt on tonight.
I can do 10, or for those that say, you know what, I like this, but I want to do 16 days. We can say, well, here's the option. We can add crater for you. You can fly to the Mara. You can go gorillas. You can. Then there are no, you know, there are no limits to what you can do. But I think by making it shorter, bring that price down, we might just be opening the net up to people that would love to come, but it's maybe just that sort of $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 too expensive. 100%.
I also think, I mean, if I go and buy a new phone.
Yeah.
Right. I'll look at the prices. Do I get the 256, the 128, whatever?
I've got 64, bro.
Yeah, that, we need to talk about that urgently, very urgently. But it's like, so I'll buy the phone, but then I budget. Okay, let's say, for example, argument's sake, I have 20,000 Rand.
Yeah.
I wish I could buy a phone for that these days. Yeah. 20,000 Rand. So I say, okay, what's the best phone I can buy for 20,000?
Yes.
And it'll come to like 19,500. So I buy that phone. Not thinking at that moment that I still have to buy a screen protector and a case and a new, I don't know, a holder for the car. Now I'm on 23. I could have gotten a better phone anyway.
Yeah.
But I think people need to do that. They need to communicate with us more as to what is it that you want.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to have buyer's remorse the moment you book the 8 day.
Yeah.
Then suddenly, oh, but I want to, yeah, put me in the crater. Give me a private with Johan for 2 days. Suddenly you're at 40.
Yeah.
Well, just talk.
Yeah.
And I think people need to do more homework.
Absolutely.
And that's where, because we're putting out new products, maybe they need to look at it and think, okay, cool, what else can I do?
Yeah.
It's all an education thing. You need to go deeper.
Absolutely.
People must go deeper.
And I think also, you know, for people returning to like particular destinations for the second or third time, you know, some of the people are just there for the the main event, if you can call it that. You know,
like migration.
Yeah. I love building a trip up. So like you know, starting off with something small, getting people used to their cameras, and then finishing strong. Whereas if people are going back to that particular trip, like Brazil with the Pantanal, for example, we've decided we're going to go straight into the Jaguars and spend 9 nights there.
Next year. Yeah.
And 2024. But then if people want to add the Southern Pantanal, that is an option. Or we've sent out options for the Amazon to people. So people can make it a little bit longer and do different things if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But for those that are just there for the Jaguars, the option is there. So you kind of... You're trying to cater for both parties.
Do you think the reason people travel has changed since COVID? The reason, why do I travel? Because there was this thing just when COVID stopped. Some would argue it hasn't stopped. Let's not get political now. slippery. I was looking at my presentation for this coming weekend.
Yes.
And a lot of, I'm taking it from, I'm trying to combine COVID and mindset and emotions and anxiety into creativity and travel and photography. So I'm trying to do a lot with this.
That'll be interesting, yeah.
But yesterday I'm looking through pictures just before we came to you for images I can use. And some of it is COVID related.
Yeah.
You have to remember your audience.
Yeah.
Because I don't know who I'm speaking to. And I know a lot of people, especially in the US, they're still quite sensitive about this.
Yeah.
I mean, for those of you listening, correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. But if I just listen to the bigger narrative, so I'm just like, careful. No, what are you saying? What was I saying? where were we going with this? Just out of COVID, when COVID theoretically opened up, there was this thing called revenge travel.
Mm.
So do you think, because I mean, I know for me, the way, and you said it, going to airports has changed, traveling has changed. Do you think people travel for a different reason? Do you think people are looking at different ways of travel, of doing new things? Is there people that didn't used to travel that now want to because, fuck, I can't be stuck in my apartment for another month?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I don't have the
answer. We can unlock that, because that's... Why would I want to travel? Because I suddenly was made aware that it sucks to sit at home and be only able to dream about things I wasn't doing anyway, but now I'm going to do them. I don't know.
Yeah. Look, it's definitely, I mean, I think this year has definitely become easier than last year. Like, we don't have to do all those COVID tests and...
The paperwork.
Oh, and the flight back from Kenya now was the first time that they didn't... masks weren't mandatory.
Oh, really?
Because usually if you didn't have a mask, they'd
give you one as you get on.
Nothing now.
Yeah.
And, you know, that might stop some people of traveling as well. But, you know, you can still put your mask on if you wanted to.
I still see people putting their mask on here.
Yeah.
Joburg, not in the office, but...
Yeah.
I was walking in yesterday. We went to buy the prawns.
Yes.
Walk in, ladies sitting with a thing and...
Hey, each to their own, eh?
Yeah.
If you want to... I'm sick and tired of those masks. I think I threw all mine away.
I actually... Yeah. I was busy packing. I've never been... I'm not like Michael. Michael Laubscher packs like 3 weeks before a trip.
Yeah.
He's ready to go. I mean, he's basically got his toothbrush packed and everything.
Yeah.
I started packing this weekend for my upcoming trip just because it's very unique packing. I need to pack for Arctic Iceland conditions and then Chicago. So how do you look pretty with big shitty things that you wear? You know what I mean? Is that?
Yeah.
But I'm packing and I take and there's this mask that comes up. And I, for a second, it's like, what the hell? And it's like, ugh. Okay, I remember this.
Don't want to go back.
It's horrible. It's horrible.
Yeah, it's an interesting time, man.
Mm-mm. And you going away for December?
I'll go that maybe first week of January.
Yeah.
But just going to be in Joburg for the first time over Christmas and stuff. And
we did New Year's together, was it? Well, not Christmas. It was New Year's. A couple of years ago. Was it last year, this year?
2 years ago, 2020.
This is the thing. Everything's fucked. Oh, because Jono still came in with his bag, his camera bag in the Uber, because if they pulled you over with alcohol,
exactly.
And he had all the wine underneath in the lens holders and shit. I remember that.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant.
Nobody can prove it, though, so there's no accountability on this.
But we could buy booze over that time. Yes, we could.
You couldn't travel with it or something. Yeah, you couldn't transport it. So how are you supposed to buy it?
Yeah.
It's the same if you want to buy weed.
Yeah.
Legally, as far as I understand here, you can own it and you can grow it, but you're not allowed to sell it or buy it.
Yeah.
So if I'm allowed to own it, how the hell am I going to get it if I can't buy it?
Yeah.
What?
Hope a bird drops a seed.
Yeah, and so it grows and everything. Anyway, and December, what are you getting up to? Just hanging.
Yeah, I don't really have any plans, to be honest. Just relax and, you know, just spend some time at home, I think.
Are you the kind of guy that, and a lot of guides do this, Pilansburg, they head out to Pilansburg for the day?
Not a chance.
Why?
No.
For those listening, Pilansburg is a game reserve about, 2 hours from Joburg?
Yeah.
It's a self-drive reserve. It's within reach. There's big five, but...
No, it feels like work to me.
It
really does feel like work. Oh, yeah. And I mean, it's nothing against Pilansburg. I wouldn't want to go to the Sabi Sands or...
Just not go to the bush.
Just not go to the bush. I definitely want to get some beach time.
Ooh, yeah.
You're
going in Jan?
In Jan, yeah. We've got family, friends. They've got a house down at the East Coast.
Oh, nice.
Around South Broome. So, and we can take the dogs, so...
Oh, win.
Yeah.
And leave Knuffel there.
Knuffel will go with his... We'll see how he does in the sea.
It depends on his behavior.
Yeah.
Hey? You were just saying now, I mean, I remember the last time that I went to a lodge on non-work.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was for content or whatever it was, but I remember sitting there, and with guests, you switched on because you have to be aware of a lot of stuff. You're thinking of back house, waitresses, who ordered what, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
And I remember sitting at this place, and... Nothing to do with me. The waiter dropped our food and I was just sitting there kind of chatting, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I found myself being aware that something on the other table, not even my, I'm not no. work, but other guests. And you switched on. Also from managing lodges, you're like, oh, they need to move there to this and that. I cannot switch that off.
No.
That's a concern.
No, it's I think it's in us. And even at restaurants.
Yeah.
You know, you do it. So no, I think it's just drilled into us that you can't help it.
So is the ocean, the beach thing does it for you?
Yeah, to a degree.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't do like 3 weeks at the coast.
Okay, but let's break this down because there's different ways of doing the beach.
Yeah.
I know people, and I want to drown myself in sand when they do this.
Yeah.
Come, let's go to the beach. Okay, cool. So you wake up at 6:37, whatever. They pack a cooler box and lunch and a gazebo and garden chairs and the whole fucking lot. And they move into the beach until 5 that evening.
No.
Like, I would go with, and I'm like, okay, cool, I can do this. And later I take a book or my iPad, whatever, and we get there at like 8:15. I'm like, fucking long day ahead. So I sit down and I read, and I'll like try and sleep on my stomach, then turn around because it's sunny, read a bit, it's like 8:20. Fuck, it's a whole day to go. I don't know how people do that.
No.
Is that what you mean going to the beach?
No, so.
Because we ain't going to the beach together.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is for the kids.
Yeah.
So I want to get them a snorkel now and they can go swim and snorkel and
yeah.
And for the dogs, you know. So pretty much go until the kids get tired. So maybe like a 2-3 hour.
That I can do.
3 hours in the morning and then chill at home and maybe go for a walk again late afternoon.
Kind of. Do you find, I mean, we've been away together, but then there's always chatting and cigars and whatever. But for me now, if I need to go and unwind and unconnect or disconnect, something like the mountains. Like find a little cabin somewhere and go there and just sit and stare. But it's almost like, I mean, my mind's busy the best of times. No, you vibrate fast. Is I almost feel guilty sometimes sitting and unwinding. So I'm off Instagram. I'm thinking maybe Jan, we can talk about that in a bit, but to come back on, but there's nothing there. I'd leave my email and I'm just like, but still I sit there and I feel guilty. Like you need to do something. You can't do this.
Yeah.
This is not right.
And I think also, you know, sitting on the beach with the waves, there's a lot going on.
So yeah.
For me, in my mind, I love
this. And there's girls with bikinis sometimes.
Yeah.
So, others might stare, but just so what I'm saying.
I might snap my neck. I turn around so quickly. But I found the sound is very relaxing, but there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
It's not like if you go to like Dullstrom or like to the mountains, like you say. It's quiet and it's still naturally for me. Then your brain also sort of slows down.
You want the ability to be able to do that, but be in reach of.
Yes.
Like Dullstrom or the mountains or the Drakensberg or anything like that, where I can go away from people because that's often what I want.
Yeah.
When was the last time you were bored? I've often said to people, like when I go on holiday, it takes me, if we go for 4 days, it means shit.
Yeah.
I'm not switching off.
Yeah.
I want to get to a place where I'm bored. Like, I don't get bored because I'd rather do something.
Yeah.
I'll start writing something or I'll start Lightroom or whatever, anything.
Yeah.
But I want to get to a place where I feel bored and then I'm ready to come home.
Yeah.
When was you last bored?
At Nairobi Airport about a week ago.
Okay, but that's different.
Yeah.
No, I hear you.
No, not on holiday.
Yeah.
And for me, like, I mean, I like I said, I love the sea, I love the ocean and stuff, but that sand and stuff, it goes in everywhere.
Mm-mm.
I prefer like a house that's close to the beach where you can sit there.
Like up on a hill, we can
have
see it.
Have a fire going and see the sun go down, have a whiskey.
Yeah.
That I enjoy, but not necessarily like in the sea and swimming in the sea. Mm-mm. And
I'm very scared of swimming in the sea. Can't do it.
No. Can't see the bottom?
Mm-mm. No. And there's sharks and shit in there,
mm-hmm.
which is bad. Bad. you're currently doing your top 20. What is your top moment from the year? Let's break it up too. A guest moment which you shared with a guest like that stands out and also your own personal highlight of travel this year. I'm assuming it's not the trip to Brazil because that was very long.
That was very long. Yeah, that was very long. I had to dig deep for that one. Sure, I think I shared both of them already, but I think the leopard that jumped down the tree onto that impala, that was pretty remarkable. I think also just...
Because first time you've seen something like that.
Yeah, I think also because of the build up to that. So I think you've met Russ McLaughlin, that he...
Oh, he was with Sharon Benson, Sharon Wild. Yeah.
So I met him in South Luang when they were doing a documentary on a particular female leopard that would sit in the sausage trees and catch the impalas. So they were there for, I think it was 8 or 9 weeks. And we got in our second or third day in South Luang and they hadn't gotten anything yet. And we waited, we waited, waited, and this impala walked right below this leopard, and she didn't do anything. We fast forward, like, then from there, 6 months later, I see this leopard in the tree, and this impala's coming towards, and I thought, there's no ways. I even made us coffee for Kim, the cast driver. I made us coffee in the vehicle, sitting having coffee. I said to her, just, you know, put your camera on the beanbag, record it. And
so the camera's filming? The
camera's filming. I said, don't even try and photograph it, because if it comes down, it's going to be so quick. And just hit record and let it roll. I was sipping a cup of coffee, and next minute, like, this leopard went down, and coffee went flying all over the place.
Holy hell.
Because I honestly didn't believe that it was going to happen. Because, I mean, what are the chances of seeing something like that? You know,
so literally, so just explain to me and the people listening. So there's a tree, the leopard's in the top, and does it just drop? Like, falls from the tree and on catches the impala?
Yeah, so, I mean, she was sitting up quite high up in the tree. So we thought, okay, you know, everyone else went to the lodge.
Yeah.
Kim wanted to see leopard, so we just photographed the leopard in the tree, which was beautiful. And we saw these impalas coming closer and closer. And then Lesh, our guide, we said, okay, let's just back up a little bit. So otherwise the impalas might not walk to where they want
what
to.
What tree was it?
Oof, now you're asking me. I have to look at the photos.
But is it the one where they eat those, the orange, the red flowers? The
flowers. It wasn't a sausage tree. No.
Okay.
Yeah, I have to...
So just luck of the draw that this thing walked there.
Luck of the draw. So with us moving away, these impalas then sort of came closer and were feeding, and this leopard started getting more and more curious and slowly started moving down, further down the tree.
Yeah.
Till it was like right up in the fork. And I mean, those impalas had... I don't know how they didn't see her. They obviously can't look up. and then it was this young impala, and it was amazing. I've looked at that video probably a million times, but as soon as that sub-adult turned its back towards the leopard, she jumped from the top. And I mean, like, accurate as
it's like a direct hit.
Direct hit. Straight onto it, onto the throat. I mean,
that's mad.
It was like one movement.
See, this is on your Instagram already.
It's on my Instagram already.
Jan Frantzell Photography with lots of underscores in between.
Yeah.
People, go and check it out. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yo.
And then the second one was... giraffe giving birth in
I saw that picture Kicheche, as well.
Which also, you know, one of those quiet, it was a quiet afternoon. We couldn't, literally couldn't find an impala. It was one of those afternoons where like, oh my goodness, are we back at the lodge yet? And came around the corner and saw a giraffe. And it's one of those moments where you sort of look at it and you look away and you're like, what?
There was something what am I seeing?
Something was different with that giraffe. And as we looked back, we could just see like just two legs starting to come out.
Holy hell.
And then it also ended up spending like 2 hours with this giraffe.
How long did the whole birth take?
So the birth, from where we got there, about 45 minutes.
Jeez.
And then it was about an hour before the young one got up.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you about, I almost saw a giraffe giving birth in Madikwe.
Oh, yeah?
I think I was driving out of Tiningi and went around Mooifontein, hit Dipororo early morning. As we turned down south on Dipororo, see this giraffe, but she's walking funny. I was like, what the hell? Anyway, as she turns side, the legs are out as well.
Oh, wow.
Like, what the hell? Okay, stop the car. This is it. Walking slowly towards Mooifontein, the lodge.
Oh.
So, shit. But this is now, this is maybe 7:30 in the morning. All vehicles on drive. So in Madikwe, as you know, you can't drive in front of a lodge in access to with view of the rooms, obvious reasons. Anyway, so I call Lucas, 24, come in. So you are standing by. I said, listen, I've got this situation happening here. Yeah. Can I follow into the waterhole? Hang on, let him check. There was one lady who was still sleeping.
Oh.
One lady. And she apparently, I spoke to him later, only woke up later that morning.
Oh.
So this giraffe is dropping babies at the waterhole. We're sitting on Mooifontein, and I'm supposed to not tell the guest, guys, listen, this is why you can't go and see it.
Yeah.
That was kind of, I mean, the rules are rules.
That's a good time to break a rule.
It was very close.
Yeah.
It's very close. No. And favorite destination you visited this year?
Because
you did Pantanal for the first time.
Yeah, Pantanal for the first time. I mean, that it is incredible
experience. Is it all you thought it was going to be?
Yes, and more. Look, I think the lodges and stuff, it's not what we're used to from a standard point of view in South Africa. It's more of a fishing lodge. So there's actually more fishermen than photographers staying there, which is quite interesting. But I think, you know, a lot of countries are trying to replicate what we're doing in Africa, which I think is a good thing, from the guide training to staff training. So, yeah, I mean, Brazil was amazing. What other new places did I go to? It was nice to get back to Madagascar.
Oh, yes. Yeah, in
quite a few years.
You're doing that again next year?
Luke's doing that next year.
Okay.
Yeah. But it is up. And then I think just, you know, being back to the Mara is always special. And I think just seeing how every year the staff, their confidence just grows. The feels like the lodge is getting better and better, or the camp is getting better and better. The food's getting better. So that's always a special experience. But I think Brazil for me was the highlight, apart from the travels getting there. I think it was like 27 hours
there. That's a monster travel, man.
35 back.
Oof. And next year, what's new? What are you looking forward to?
There's nothing, no new trips next year. I think I'm sort of taking a, not a back step next year, but, you know, going to familiar places as things stand at the moment. Look, there might be a private that pops up to a new place, but, you know, really excited for 2024 stuff. I think there's some cool safaris coming in there.
23, we need to, and we'll talk about this offline as well, about the US stuff.
Yeah.
I've been speaking to David, who's the guy on that side.
Yes.
Ew, David. Schitt's Creek.
Oh,
ew, David. I'm there. Damn it. Ew, David. What am I saying? Oh, so for October, so to do Busty Badlands into New Mexico. So he's traveling. I'm traveling now.
Yeah.
One of the big things as well, we've got the dates for that.
Yeah.
End of September into October. So if anybody listens and they're keen, please stay in touch. Get in touch with Johan or myself. I'm speaking to Nick, who's the owner of the Chicago Photo Schools now. I'm staying with him on Sunday night. And they also want to put groups together into the US.
Nice.
They want to run trips with and through Wild Eye.
Nice.
Now, this is both for safari and on that side. So that for me is something interesting, because I think the only landscape-based type stuff, landscape-based stuff we have, Iceland is dedicated.
Yeah.
In Svalbard, we do some. Madagascar, you do some.
Yeah.
And I mean, the argument can be made that you can do landscapes in the Mara as well, but it's not the same.
No.
You're never, ever going to travel to the Mara with your tripod to go and photograph landscapes.
No.
It's different. And I think there's a lot to be said for us hosting those kind of things, especially in Busty Badlands and these things look sick.
Yeah. No, if we could pull that off, it'll be...
It's going to happen. I need to go. I'm not asking. I'm telling. We're going, right? looking at the February trip as well. But again, I've got people from Chicago who want to confirm, plus Kim, if you're listening, your name's on that, but I need to speak to them face to face. You know, it's that. But I do think from a teaching point of view, how we do what we do, the energy, I want to almost say naughtiness, the fun, the teaching, to put that onto something like that. And I think teaching landscape photography is a lot, pick your word nicely, it's a lot deeper because it's slower.
Yeah.
You can spend time. Cool. Look at this. Try this. I want you to now shoot at 2.8, 4.5, 5.6, 6.3, 7.1, 8, 16, 11, 22.
Yeah.
And then let's see what the difference is. Cool. Now that we've got that happy, now we look at that. You can't do that always in wildlife.
It's easier to teach. Yeah.
100%. And I think there's a lot more learning to be done in that realm. And I look at Iceland, the other place, funny enough, I mean, Madagascar has its if you go to the baobabs and stuff like that, there's some interesting landscapes, but there's something for me, and I'm drawn to that from it makes me slow down, both teaching wise and shooting wise. Like when I went to we still have to go to Hogsback, it's just amazing. Go to Hogsback and slow down there in the water.
Yeah, you've got some nice waterfalls.
Yes, that place is amazing. But again, that's based on slowing down.
Yeah.
It's not, a lot of wildlife photographers vibrate very quickly. It's all the time. It's like, get the leopard, get the lion. And I do think we lose something in that.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to bring back by going to these places, is doing what we do, but in that realm.
Yeah.
I think there's something magical which we're going to uncover. So if anybody's keen, they need to talk to us.
Yeah.
It's I'm going back to the States next year twice. I'm not asking now, I'm telling you. I'm not sure if it's with trips, but it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because there's something there that we can offer. Mm. I know it.
And I think also, apart from those landscape workshops, I think just chatting safari to people that potentially might want to go on safari with us, but either don't know us or don't know where to start, you know, we can set up a dinner or a coffee or a drink, whatever it might be.
100%.
And just chat safaris and maybe do a bit of a presentation for you and your friends or family or people that you know. Because, you know, everyone I speak to, there's a lot of people that want to go on safari, but they don't know where to go, who to go with.
100%. Case in point.
Where to start.
Yeah. I was, a couple of years ago before COVID, when we did the marketing trips there, why do I think I told you this? We were staying at a hotel just off Madison Square Garden. I don't know what it was. Some big thing. And this one lady saw on social, we're going to be there, and she just wanted to have breakfast. So It was early morning, 7:30 by New York standards. It's super early because old market's dinner. Everything only opens at 10. So I meet her down there in the shitty little, it's like a Denny's or something really crappy. It's not a nice restaurant. It's like a wimpy, but not even.
Okay.
So go in, have a coffee. And she was keen on the gorilla Uganda trip. I wasn't hosting it. It was just someone.
Yeah.
And literally in the first 5 minutes, we sit down. She's like, okay, cool. She'll book the trip. We haven't even started talking about the trip yet.
Yeah.
And she just wanted to know that it's real.
Yeah.
She just wanted to sit there across exactly. from someone, know that you exist. You're not some bullshit artist online.
Exactly.
And that's the point. That's one of the things as well. I personally also, there's a discussion, how much time do we have? I want to pull back from travel. I do. So I'm looking at when I'm going to pull back dramatically, but still, I want to be able to share the message by doing presentations
sure.
and seeing people yes. and all of that. How long are you still guiding for? How's that for a quick change of conversation?
Yeah, I mean, if I had my way, I'd probably say 23-24.
Years from now. That's a long time, dude.
So I'm going to be in a wheelchair. So next year and then 2024, and then slow down. I think one of the things that I struggled with, especially this year, is to balance the days in the field and then the other responsibilities of making sure we've got enough product to sell you know, into the future.
Yeah, so, for those of you listening, Jan runs, he's our head of product development. So that's what you're yeah. they are.
So it's very difficult to balance those things out. And a lot of it is critical information that we need as a company to see. You know, if you don't have stock to sell, you're not making money. You know?
100%.
So unfortunately, Judy took the brunt of that and took a lot of that on. But you know, it is something that I'm enjoying quite a bit more. And I agree with you. I think I would be, not that I'm not passionate about safaris, but I would be more passionate about presentations and chatting about these different destinations
yeah.
than, you know, being away from home for 160 days a year. 100%.
It is hot. And look, I mean, there's not a single day that we're out there, and I'm sure I speak for you and most of the guys here, all the guys. There's not a single day that you wake up in safari thinking, oh, this sucks balls. That doesn't happen.
No, I've had it a few times with horrible people.
We can go there. That podcast coming up, episode 500. but it's. I'm very aware of the privilege of doing what we do.
Sure.
I could have been stuck in an office 9 to 5. I would have been locked up because I would have killed somebody.
Sure.
I think the biggest thing for me is that we all change.
Yeah.
People change. Our needs change. Your kids are growing up. I mean, your boys are fucking rock stars. I mean, yeah. Josh crashing the karate, you want to be there for stuff like
exactly.
that. And there needs to be a way that you can evolve from one thing into the next, but by keeping the passion and working within the same industry. I mean, yeah. Jesus, in January, in a couple of weeks from now, I turn 47. That's old as fuck. No, it's not. But I want to also get to a point where when I'm 50, and this is something you and I need to have when I start drinking again, maybe early. New Year. we need, like, when I turn 50 that January, I want to do something epic.
Okay.
Like, go and cycle around the Himalayas or some shit. You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
totally out there. Like, do something that scares me.
Yeah.
I want to do that. But also, from that time, it's almost like a switch. And it's not to say that I don't want to guide until I'm 104.
No.
But there's things, I think you grow and mature in a way that you feel you can add value in different levels.
Yes.
I also think, and this is the reality of, we're going deep here.
Yeah.
I also think it's a reality for a business like ours that, I mean, Andrew, John and I sat around a fire. We started this thing. Andrew came in. Marlon came in. He left. And then you guys, you're our most senior guide after Andrew myself. So if it's not for you, you're it.
Yeah.
But in anything like this, as it grows, unless you pop the bottleneck open, you're not going to grow it as much. We cannot push our guides more.
Yeah.
So the reality is that we are going to have to look for those people listening and keen for new guides sometime in the first quarter, probably of next year,
sure.
in order to facilitate the growth in the company,
yeah.
to make the money you speak about, to service all those trips.
Yeah.
We can't take them all.
No.
You get someone like Apple Sammy. We need 3 more of him.
Yeah, exactly.
But in order for that to work, we need to release some of it.
Exactly.
And that's a very interesting process we're going through. And I think the balancing act for us is, what does Johan want? What does Jerry, Andrew, Michael, what do we want?
Yeah.
And where can we add value, not just now, but in the... I promise you this, in 5 years from now, I'm not guiding much anymore. I promise you that.
Yeah.
Certain trips, like Svalbard, they're going to pry me away from when I'm 90. but
you're going to look like that guy with the beard.
100%. You're Vigo, the taxi guy. Yeah. But we need to evolve and change.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the, I think the challenge, and this is probably a moral, I mean, dichotomy on both sides, is you get to do this thing where you go to Brazil, you go to Madagascar, you go to all these places, yeah. And it's bloody amazing. But at the same time, the part of us as humans that want to keep growing and change is not there.
Yeah.
But we get lost. And this is, please, this is not a bitch. This is it's a reality. Is the part of us that wants to change get lost in the romance of it as well. And then suddenly 4 years down the line, you say, geez, I wish I still did this. Or, wow, I can't believe it's 4 years already.
Yeah.
We can blink and it's going to be 24, end of 24. Michael and I are going to come back from Greenland.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, now what?
Yeah.
Oh, well, in January you turn 50.
Yeah.
So that's, it's all of these things.
Absolutely.
And I know for a fact, each one of our guides here are best of the best. Mm. I've seen people, you've seen people out there
yeah.
who do what we do. Different discussion, episode 501. but we need to look at what is the plan for the future. And I've been stuck in that. It's not a midlife crisis or anything. I'm just very realistic as to, I've had my midlife crisis. I'm done. Don't worry about it. But it's like, what now?
Yeah.
And that to me is an interesting conversation. But I sometimes feel people don't want to have it because it scares them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, what's next? Because we can, I mean, and in reality, I would love to keep all the guides here as long as we can.
Yeah.
And if, for example, if Trevor or Luke get to the point where they don't want to guide as much anymore, what can we do?
Yeah.
In the current structure, not much, but if we grow the company, lots.
Yeah.
And for growth, we need to let go and get new guides in. So
exactly.
I don't know. That's
exactly. And I think it's, you know, it's tough because, you know, there are some people that say, you know, I only want to travel with Jerry or only with Mike or only with whoever. But I think, and, you know, we like you said, we're always going to appreciate that those return clients. Mm. And, you know, we're not going to say, you know what, Karen, I don't want to guide you anymore because, you know, I'm tired or whatever. Mm. We're always going to take that on because I think it's probably one of the best compliments you can get if someone says, you know, I want to travel with
you. It's a privilege.
It's a privilege, absolutely. But I do think also, you know, people need to open their minds up to traveling with someone else as well.
Mm.
You know, like you said with Mike Appelsammy, and I think it's always been the hard thing, and the responsibility for us is to how do we convince people that this is a guy to travel with. You know, you're traveling with Wild Eye, you're not really traveling with individuals. But having said that, there is the individual element to it as well.
No, 100%.
It makes it very difficult. So, you know, for anyone that is guiding at lodges and things, and you want to do this in the future, and I'm sure you feel exactly the same way.
Mm.
If I had kept every single email address from guests that I guided over the years,
man,
it would have been a lot easier to hit the ground running.
Yeah.
Because when you come into a new company and you've got, even though we've got a pool of, I don't know how big our database is, but
sure.
Say it's 400 people.
Yeah.
It's difficult to convince those 400 people that they must go with you. Mm. Maybe unless, and I think Michael Appelsammy is getting there now where, in the beginning, people were probably a bit nervous.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we don't know this guy. He hasn't really posted that many photos.
Mm.
But now, once they've been on the safari with him, they're like, what an awesome guy. I want to book another trip. So, you know, if you're looking at doing this in the future, then you know, keep every single guest email address. Don't ever judge someone by maybe what they're wearing, because there's a lot of people with big bucks that probably don't want to dress like they have that money.
No.
And you know, that could be a potential person that travels with you for 40, 50 days a year.
I think 100%. I mean, I think the biggest thing, the one thing that there's a big difference, I mean, psychologically, mentally for us, taking a scheduled departure, which is there's 6 spots, 10 spots, 12 spots, people sign up, you take the group versus booking a private.
Yeah.
A private by default is more personal.
Yes.
The experience, the sales process, the everything.
Yeah.
And there, even though, even if, let's say for argument's sake, in 2024, I decide I'm done with guiding, I'm only going to run Svalbard and Iceland and US trips, done, that's like, I don't know, 60 days a year.
Yeah.
And then I'll open it up to 2 or 3 existing clients for privates.
Yes.
New clients, they need to build into the new guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's ways to navigate that.
Sure.
And there's certain guests, I mean, Ingen, just off the top of my head, comes to mind. Yeah. I'll always guide him.
Yeah.
I'm going to guide him when I'm in a wheelchair one day. We can wheelchair together. but those kind of things will stay. And again, it comes to growing the company, which needs to grow the people as well. You cannot grow a company in isolation and expect the people to grow as well.
Yeah.
It has to be both together.
Yeah. But also, it's also your mental health. You know, guiding Ingen for you doesn't feel like work.
Mm.
Because you guys have got a friendship going. So then that guiding and this sounds terrible, but it's more enjoyable.
That is.
Because you don't have to make sweet talk. You can say, you know, if you're tired, if you don't feel well, you don't have to, like, sit there and push through dinner. And you can comfortably say, listen, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm not feeling great. I ate something or whatever. Mm. Please excuse me. And there's going to be no questions asked. Yeah. And I think that's what we're trying to... I hope it doesn't get sort of taken the wrong way, but you almost pick and choose who you want to...
No, 100%. We had a meeting. It's a raw, honest conversation. We had a meeting downstairs at Bootleggers a couple of weeks ago, all the guides, where Michael Laupscher, who's kind of our head guide, he kind of just checked in with the guys. How are you feeling? How is your year? What can be better in this and that? And the one thing I said before I had to go as well was, what are you doing as a guide outside of guiding to take care of yourself? Mm. Because if you want longevity and you want to do this for, especially for the younger guys, if you want to do this for a long time, if you're not taking care of yourself on and in between trips, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
You're going to burn out and that sucks.
Yeah.
Been there, done that. It's not great.
Yeah.
So it's how can you make it enjoyable and long lasting? And yes, some people are more difficult to guide than others. It just is what it is. Same thing. If you sell a car, some people are difficult. Doctors, some people are, it just is what it is. It's nature.
Absolutely.
And I think also, and this is an interesting discussion as well, is from a guest point of view, I think, like, let me make it personal. If I go on safari, every once in a while we get bed night somewhere.
Yeah.
I try and be an amazing guest.
Yeah.
I try and, because I know what he's doing or she's going through.
Yeah.
And I try and be as nice as possible. And it doesn't even mean leave a monster gratuity. It just meaning, thank you. Hey, how's it going? Cool. No worries. Just be a nice guest.
Yeah.
And you know what? Because of that, I get a better experience.
Exactly.
Instead of bitching and moaning, oh, you're fucking 2 minutes late, John. Yeah. It doesn't...
It's not going to help it.
So I also think if people, and look, we are very lucky at Wild Eye. The majority of our guests are like that. They come in and they understand and they want to have the real Johan.
Mm.
So if you want to have the real one, give me the real you.
Yeah, exactly.
It makes sense.
Exactly.
And then it's a win-win for everybody. I think it's an interesting landscape we're going into. And I also think this time we had to think, because I remember before COVID started in 2020, from like 2016 through 2020, there was one year, I think I did 212 days. It was obscene.
That's a lot.
Yeah. It's not right.
That's a lot.
But it was just go, go, go. 16, 2017, 2018, 2019, fucking stop COVID.
Yeah.
And then you could sit back and think, holy hell.
What have I been doing?
Yeah, the momentum has stopped and you think, what have I been doing? You think, okay, there's gratitude because, fuck, I got to see this. But you also think, well, now I'm suddenly sitting at my home for the first time in, it's the longest I've stayed at home in like 10 years.
Yeah.
Oh, is this the other side?
Yeah.
And now you're trying to balance this thing.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And I think, I mean, like you said, with those being so busy, you get so used to being away from home that you forget what it's like to be at home. Mm. So when COVID came, all of a sudden it's like a year and a half, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah,
not even out the province.
Uh-uh.
It's like, this is actually quite a nice little space.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting, hey?
So,
how's your social media going? How's Instagram treating you?
Up and down.
Yeah.
It's a kind of a love-hate relationship. I'm trying to get it sort of up and running. And I think everyone is just sort of hungry for something new, something different.
Mm. What is that though? What are they hungry for? Or what, just, cancel, what are they not getting on Instagram?
I don't know. I don't know what they're not getting, but it's just, I think there's been a lot of, I've seen it all over, but it's videos that have, for me, are pushing the boundaries in a sort of animal point of view, but to get big hitting reels, to get more likes, more followers, and there's less of the individual on there.
You know, like, so as the person.
The person. You know, so if you look at like a lot of these wildlife photographers and stuff, you know, there's some of them haven't got a single photo of themselves on there. You know, it's all wildlife.
Yeah.
Wildlife based. And I mean, we've always said, you know, it's about the personality and all of it. But I think, you know, Instagram has lost that. And I think the people's attention is in so many different places. I don't look at posts anymore.
What do you mean?
Like on Instagram
posts. Scrolling.
Yeah, I look at maybe go through stories maybe. But I don't, if I go through 3 or 4 posts a day, that's a lot. Right? Because it's, and have a look when you scroll.
It's all the same.
It's like, Lion, leopard. I don't know. It's gotten a bit stale. And I mean, I went for a long time that I didn't post anything. And I thought, okay, well, let me try something different and just put out top 20 moments for people to see, but also for me to like reflect a little bit on the year and see, okay, listen, what did I get this year? Let's go through all the trips and what photos and videos there are.
I think people, because I haven't posted anything since June. Not a story, not a reel, nothing. And I pop in once a week, twice a week, just to kind of check what's going on, just kind of see, haven't engaged at all. And the one thing that's very noticeable is, again, is people seem to be going for, it's reels because that's what Instagram says, and I'm going to get a lot of likes. If Nature is Metal shares my thing, then I'm going to get 20,000 new followers, this, that, the other. I don't think more than 10%, if that, of people who are posting know why. Why are you putting something on there?
Yeah.
Is it just because you want the likes, because then you're missing friends, whatever? Are you trying to share a message? Are you trying to effect a change? Mm. Are you trying to sell a safari? And people aren't honest about that anymore. It's just this, everything's clumped together and we're doing what Instagram wants us to do for the algorithm. I don't know. I've panel beated the people who I follow over time now, big time ago, just delete, follow, da-da. Yeah. So it's very much, I've got some sport things, and some wildlife things, but there's no fizz.
No.
It's all sizzle, no steak.
Yeah.
There's nothing there.
But it's also, like, I find that people bitch and moan about not getting interaction and stuff, but...
Yeah, but you're not putting anything out that deserves interaction.
Yeah, but it also, like, don't bitch and moan about reels and stuff. Shoot reels.
Yeah. Like, they give you there it is. That's what we're going to do, so do it.
Shoot video when you're out in the field. You know, and I've done that with a lot of clients. It's like, okay, what are you doing with your images? No, like Instagram, I really want to get more followers on Instagram. Okay, then instead of taking 5,000 photos in this particular sighting,
take 3,000.
Take 3,000 and take 10 minutes of video, 5 minutes of video, whatever. And then use that.
Yeah.
Because if that's what you want, if you want a bigger audience, then post reels. It's no secret. I've seen guys that have gone from 20,000 followers to like 110,000 in a space of a month.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's the TikTok model where it's viral. You remember, you had a reel that went for 24 million. What was that? Yeah. And then you got half of India followed you.
Yeah.
So
at least it's gone down now. I'm like 15.7% India now.
What was it?
It was 25% at one stage.
Holy hell.
Yeah.
But see, that's the thing. So, but this comes back to, people want to get the numbers for what?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So you want to get more Instagram. So you have 27 now. You want to get to 100. Why?
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Because it strokes your fucking ego.
Yeah.
And if that's your goal, 100%, go for it. But be honest about it.
Yeah.
Because then you can play the ego game.
Yes.
But if you don't know why you're doing it, why bother?
Yeah.
To me, and the downside is just way more than the upside if you don't know why you're doing it.
Absolutely. And I mean, more followers doesn't necessarily mean more interaction and more...
No, on the contrary.
And more sales that you're going to make and stuff.
Well, you know with your Indian people.
Yeah.
Because I don't know why. That reel must have focused on a certain demographic. They saw it. It's like if you get featured on Nature's Metal or Dark Nature, whatever these things are, you get a lot of followers because they expect more of that thing. So either you're going to now play to the system and only post that thing.
Yeah.
Or if you go back to your normal stuff, they're like, what the hell is this dude posting?
You might lose 15,000 followers.
And then the algorithm is going to say, oh, look, he's following. So it's a game you can't win.
No, and I think it comes down to post what you want to post.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to put a photo up of the cake you baked or whatever, then do that. You know, just post.
Yeah.
Or if you don't want to post, then don't post. If you're just there to...
Yeah.
But you know, there's no point bitching and moaning about it.
I think if I do start posting some stuff again in Jan, I was even thinking maybe from Chicago and Iceland, but I don't know yet. But I'm going to full on go post and ghost.
Mm.
Post, leave. I'm not going to answer comments.
Yeah.
I'm going to literally, because the bad thing is we go for the negative comments. You want to read that stuff.
Yeah.
And you get upset because fuckboy 674 out of New York says your image sucks. It's like, why should I worry about that? But in the same breath, too much smoke blown up your ass by people you don't know makes you feel this fake confidence. I'm so good. And you get, there's no good for me in that.
No.
Nothing. If I want honest criticism or feedback, I'm going to ask someone like you across the table or Zoom with someone who I, but that, so I'm think I'm going to go the post and ghost route.
Yeah. I must say one thing that does piss me off a little bit with Instagram is the suggested
people. There's loads though.
It's like, literally every second one is almost suggested, like I don't want that. You know, if I wanted to follow that person, I'd follow you.
Yes.
But
they find themes. They find themes sometimes because then these recommended stuff comes up. For some reason, the last while, I have, what's it called? Not vegan. So you got the carnivore diet. So yes. I looked at that for a little while, played with it, this, that, just to check. Now suddenly,
everywhere,
everything is that. It's like, okay, stop.
Yeah,
I've said to 22 of them now, don't share this, but they just keep on going, until I show them what I want next. The algorithm is supposed to feed us, and it does, because if I look for, I might have Googled, Instagram searched two or three things on carnivore diet, for example.
Yeah.
And that's all it gives me now. So if I'm going to go and Google small bikinis, then you only get the influencers shaking their asses around.
That's a great idea.
Why so there I you go.
I'm going to search it right away.
Yeah, search it. But yeah, it's, I don't know, it's a very strange world. Hey, however, I think the reality is still people say, oh, social media makes us bad. No, it doesn't. It just exposes who you are.
Yeah.
So all you people who go negative and bitch and moan, social media didn't make you do that.
No.
It shows who you are.
Exactly.
It's the same thing. Be a nice guest. Be a nice social media user. Just be nice.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I don't know, that goes all over.
Yeah. Well, as soon as people don't have to do it face to face, and they feel like they can throw punches however they like.
That's Mike Tyson's quote. Today's people in today, well, people in today's world have gotten too used to disrespecting you without getting punched in the face. Yeah. Did you see him on the plane a while ago where he decked the oak?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Because the drunk guy from behind is like, oh, Mike Tyson. And he said to him three times.
You've got to be really drunk to take on Mike Tyson.
And he said to him three times, listen, buddy, you need to stop, please.
Yeah.
Stop, please. Third time. Bah!
No, even if I have all the brandy at Billy's, there's no ways I'll
No. You don't. Yes, sir, Mike, sir.
Yeah.
It's all good, sir.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He's a beast. I saw reports that he might, I don't know if it's all just smoke and mirrors, but that, what's that YouTuber, Logan Paul? Was it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Apparently they want a box.
Yeah, but you see the Paul brothers, like Jake Paul and Logan Paul.
Jake Paul, yeah.
Because Logan Paul also joined the WWE, or whatever it's called now, the wrestling thing.
Yeah, it's a lot of
crap. And they, two young guys who's YouTube followers. The problem with Jake Paul, he's actually not a decent, he's not the worst boxer.
No, you can punch.
I mean, to drop Woodley and all those guys, yeah, you might think he faked it, whatever. Still, I mean, in four or five
Did
fights
he fight
with big guys.
Anderson Silva?
He knocked him as well.
Silva as well. So he's a bad dude, man.
Yeah, but the problem is, okay, cool. So you're how old are these guys? 28, 29, I'm guessing. Now you want to go and fight Mike Tyson, who's late 50s or mid 50s something.
Yeah.
He's still a monster.
He's a
toastal machine, right? Yeah. But still, he's older. Yeah. There needs to come a point. Fight someone on the peak. Go and fight Khamzat Chimaev. Or go and fight even Nate Diaz. So they say he's going to fight Nate Diaz. Nate's not a boxer.
No.
Nate's a brawler, man.
Or like go for like Masvidal or Chandler.
I watched that Chandler and Poirier fight recently.
That was
just insane.
That was crazy.
I still have to watch the full Gaethje Chandler fight from last year at Madison Square Garden. That's
what brutal, man.
Yeah, they said one of the best ones ever. What's coming up? 282. Is it?
I'm not sure.
Paddy guy's fighting.
Yeah. And I saw for next year John Jones and the thing is confirmed.
Ngannou.
I think that's in either March or May.
Yeah. I don't know. Interesting
that's
one.
Really big.
Big guys. Anyway, let's go and get lunch. Jan, thank you so much.
Gee, thank
when
you.
Are you traveling again?
It's the 19th of Feb for Best of
Serengeti. A couple of months off. We need to do some bries.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll chat to you again. Thanks, bud.
Perfect. Thanks. Thanks, guys.
Bye, everybody.
Cheers.
And there we go. If you guys have any questions on any of what we discussed in there, the future of guiding, the future of Wild Eye, where we're going, how you can get involved, how you can travel with us, new tours, the US trips, whatever, get in touch with Johan or myself at johan@wildeye.co.za or jerry@wildeye.co.za, and we look forward to hearing from you. Looking forward to chatting with one of the guys next, see who's in the office over the next few days before I leave for Chicago. Otherwise, we'll pick up in the new year again with chatting to the guides and seeing how we can just share more value and kind of give you just a bit of a deeper look into who we are at Wild Eye and what makes us tick. Very proud of what we've created here. It's been a hell of a ride. And just sitting down talking to the guys, it's, happy days, man, happy days. Anyway, thank you for your time. Thank you for lending me your ears. I will chat to you in the next episode. My name is Jerry. I'm from Wild Eye. Have a good one. Bye for now.